Welcome to Empowering Plants, a show dedicated to identifying waste and undue expense in the health benefits industry, discovering ways to maximize benefits while minimizing costs, and empowering employers, administrators, and consultants to emphasize, once again, the benefit in benefit plan. Today's episode is brought to you by the FIA Group, empowering plans since 1999. Now here are your hosts, the FIA Group's own CEO, Adam Russo, and Senior Vice President and General Counsel, Ron Peck.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. This is a recorded podcast, so I have no idea what time it is, but I do know you're listening, and that's all I can ask of anybody. You are tuned in to the FIA Group's Empowering Plans podcast. I am Senior Vice President and General Counsel of the FIA Group, Ron Peck. With me is attorney Brady Bizarro, our politico, master of all things legislative. Not with us today is Adam Russo. It is an Adam-free afternoon. You can thank me later. But in all seriousness, why are we doing this? Why are we recording an emergency podcast? Emergency, emergency. News has just been released along with the proposed health care law from the Senate. We've printed all 150 plus pages of this beast. I call it a beast not only because of the length and complexity, but also because they took a pre-existing proposal from the House, the American Healthcare Act, brought it into a secret room, locked the door, and Frankensteined it. And now they have released the Kraken for the rest of us to see what they have done. Basically, at this point, you're probably not going to hear too many details, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Again, it was only released less than an hour ago. People are only starting to leak some of the details, their commentary. We have done a quick overview. We have many things to share with you today, but I promise we'll be providing you with additional commentary and news as time passes. And the one who will likely spearhead those efforts is sitting across from me, Brady. I don't know if just to start, you want to talk a little bit about how odd it is the way this has been unrolled and released for the rest of our consumption.
Sure. Thanks, Ron. Yeah, this is a very strange time in Washington, D.C. You have a bill that's being written and not really debated that affects potentially 1/6 of the entire U.S. economy. This Senate bill, as you said, is their version of the American Healthcare Act. In the last few weeks, the majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, has decided to really write this bill in a small group of 12 senators, not share it with the outside world. And I think that's been done on purpose because he knows he needs to get 50 votes. And the less criticism he takes, the better on this bill. But he's really had some opposition for doing it this way from not only Democrats, but also from Republican senators. Because typically for bills that affect public policy in such a huge way, you'll have open debate or hearings, you'll allow amendments to the bill. Even the Affordable Care Act, which passed in 2010, we all knew what was in it before it passed. It may have been unpopular later on, but at least there were hearings involving experts, there was testimony gathered from both sides, there were amendments added, and it was more of an open process. This time, not so much. But thankfully today, a week before the scheduled vote, they did drop the bill, and we're getting ready to dig into it.
So speaking of digging into it, Brady, I know you and I have spent about the last hour flipping through the pages trying to see if there's anything particularly relevant to our industry, the employer-based health plan industry, self-funded industries, stop-loss, brokers, employers, employees. And certainly we did discover some things right off the bat that we think are relevant. Additionally, there are a lot of things there that are not relevant. I can share just a quick story. The moment I received it, I downloaded the PDF version of this document, and I started doing a word search. I was looking for words like charges, charge master, prices, fees, cost of care, cost, out of pocket, max out of pocket, patient rights, fees, balance billing, ERISA, employer-based, self-funding, self-insurance, etc. And I can tell you that across the board, either the word didn't show up, or if it did show up, it was part of a phrase or term that really had nothing to do with us. Example, I look for the word hospital, and the only time hospital comes up is a psychiatric hospital. So again, you know, a lot of the issues that we've talked about in the past where they're not really addressing the cost of care or the way it impacts the individuals or the employers that are sponsoring these plans, it doesn't seem that that's really changed here. One thing that's interesting is, you know, I saw a chapter in the law, part 8, it's called Rules Governing Small Business Risk Sharing Pools, Small Business Health Plans. And immediately I'm thinking, ho, are they going to be addressing these definition of a small employer, small self-funded plan? You know that there's been a lot of at the state level discussion regarding what is a small benefit plan as far as a self-funded plan, the ability to purchase stop loss, etc. And lo and behold, the first sentence in general, for purposes of this part, the term small business health plan means a fully insured group health plan. So again, for those who have thought that self-funding and benefit plans in general and the cost of healthcare in general have been disregarded, and this is really more focused in on health insurance, providing health insurance coverage to the mass population, ensuring that people are covered, ensuring that Medicare and Medicaid are addressed, that these are really the hot topics being covered. I don't necessarily see much change in this new version as far as that's concerned, but there are some things that are pretty relevant to our audience. And Brady, I know that you identified some of those. I don't know if you want to dig in right now and share some of those details.
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, Ron, it's true that the majority of this bill is focused on the individual market and, of course, people on Medicaid, which is a big point of contention among the senators about when the phase out will happen. But for our purposes, there were a few things that caught my eye, one of which is blowing up on Twitter at the moment, which is a part of the bill here which refers to essential health benefits. Now, it looks like the way I'm reading this, it says that Section 1937(b)(5) of the Social Security Act is amended by basically sunsetting the requirements for essential health benefits. Now, the odd thing is that that paragraph appears under a heading that has to do with Medicaid plans, but people online and some analysts that I follow are thinking that this actually could apply to potentially all healthcare plans. And what that would mean would be that benchmark plans no longer have to offer a package of essential health benefits. That would be huge news. So we're going to watch that and see if, in fact, that's the intent of that provision. But that's a big deal. That's one thing to watch. A few things that are a little more clear, the individual mandate and employer mandate, the penalty amounts have been reduced to zero, retroactive to 1/1/2016. That's a big deal. So that was also in the House bill, but it looks like the Senate is keeping the elimination of the mandates, since they can't actually repeal them legislatively, but basically zeroing it out does the same thing. Also, the Cadillac tax on employer plans, I mean, we've heard about this for, you know, 5 or 6 iterations of this bill, but like the House bill, the Cadillac tax here is pushed out again. It's repealed basically through 2025, and then it comes back. It looks like they're having a hard time just repealing the damn thing, frankly, because of the rules on how they're passing this bill and the budget process. But most other ACA taxes, the big ones too, medical device tax, the tax on tanning beds, those are repealed. So that's good news. If you like to go tanning, you'll find that you can do that for cheaper in the future. Also, a few things on HSAs. The House bill had loosened the rules in terms of the contribution limits, allowing spouses to make catch-up contributions. That's also in the Senate bill. But again, the primary contention points in this bill, I think, are going to be certainly this paragraph here about essential health benefits and also the phase-out of Medicaid cuts. Remember, this has to pass with essentially 50 Republican senator votes and the vice president being the tiebreaker. That's what they're counting on. So they can lose 2 senators in the Senate as it stands. But I think if this language is really applying to all health plans, the language about the EHBs, you might see a few other senators say, hey, what's going on with this? One other quick note, I did not see anywhere in this bill any mention of pre-existing conditions or the guaranteed issue. So it's unclear if the waiver will still be kept for states to opt out of providing continuous coverage for those with pre-existing conditions. I did not see anything about, you know, having a break in coverage of a certain length, which was in the House bill. So we'll have to watch and see what is really intended in the Senate bill. Again, this is also just a draft version. So we expect that, you know, I think the last I heard, they're going to allow 10 hours of floor debate, which is really not that much at all, frankly, for a bill of this size. But there's been no hearings again, no really open sessions. So in the coming days, we're going to be watching to see what, you know, who says what. But I can tell you the president has said it's a good bill. So he has apparently been briefed on the outlines of it so far.
It's funny you mentioned the Cadillac tax. I think by the time we actually see a real change or implementation or elimination of the Cadillac tax, all real Cadillacs will be self-driving by that point, you know, and that's going to cut a lot out of health spending, right? No more accidents. But, you know, you mentioned the waivers, and you mentioned them regarding pre-existing conditions and guaranteed coverage and things of that nature. But I remember also there was application of a waiver program or waiver system to the issue of essential health benefits. And on a state-by-state level, we talked about sort of the race to the bottom where various states would compete to see who could waive the most essential health benefits and try to attract the most plan sponsors to sponsor their plan in their state. If indeed essential health benefits have been eliminated entirely, where does that leave us as far as the waivers in that regard?
Yeah, well, I think if that's the case, you wouldn't need state waivers for EHBs. And I think that opens up the door really to, you know, catastrophic only plans or skinny plans. I think you'll see certainly for employers that want to choose, you know, more flexible options for different populations of employees who perhaps don't need as extensive coverage. But yeah, there would not even need to be a process in place for the waivers. I think you'll see, I mean, I'd be surprised, frankly, if it passes in the current form like that with, you know, a total elimination of EHBs, because frankly, that's a popular measure in the Affordable Care Act, because people are concerned about coverage for things like pregnancy, maternity care, mental health, prescription drugs, hospitalization. I mean, these are some big services that I think most people expect that their health insurance plans will cover. So we'll have to see what emerges in terms of a compromise, because I do think they're going to have trouble getting 50, you know, Republican senators to sign on a deal like that. But we'll be watching that one for sure.
Yeah, we've had, again, less than an hour to review this thing, but right off the bat, it feels to me almost as if this is a little bit more similar to the first version of the American Health Care Act, which was shot down by the House. I remember a lot of the compromises regarding essential health benefits, but with waivers and things of that nature, that they developed and really built on in order to get it through the House. It feels almost as if a lot of that work is now being reversed or changed in those areas that were amended at the House level, just to get it through at that point.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think in the House, it was harder to sort of herd the cats and get enough votes to pass the bill. And so you had the Freedom Caucus and you had sort of the more moderate wing of the party to contend with. And so these amendments that were added, the MacArthur Amendment, which provided the waivers, I think those were more extensive. And I think it looks like this time in the Senate, again, the majority leader has pretty much written off, you know, I think the senators that he knows will be a no on this bill. And those are more conservative senators, but you don't really have a block that is, you know, as difficult to deal with in terms of, I mean, really this involves going to each individual senator that you're thinking is a no and saying, hey, what do you need for me to put in this bill? And presumably that was done, but we'll wait and see. The next big thing that's going to happen in the next few days will be the Congressional Budget Office report. They're going to have to score this bill. I believe how it stands now, the Senate is required to wait for a CBO score before they vote. So that will happen definitely sometime early next week. And again, the plan is to have a vote on this legislation either sometime next week or certainly before the July 4th recess when senators go home to their constituents.
So a lot going to be happening in the next few days. We'll keep our eyes on the news. We'll continue to provide our own assessment of this law, and we will keep everybody updated regarding A, how it's going to impact everyone in general, and B, specifically, how it will impact our industry. But until then, we thank you for listening. Keep tuned in. Stay watching the live feed. Podcasts will be appearing. Calls, webinars we'll be doing, and we'll keep you in the know. Until then, thank you very much. Brady, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks again, everybody.
Take care.